Welcome to Policy in Perspective, a new webcast from Mathematica Policy Research. I'm Craig Thornton, a senior fellow here at Mathematica, and I'm joined today by Deborah Lipson, who is also a Mathematica senior fellow and the author of an important new book chapter, The Policy and Political Environment of Family Caregiving. Deborah, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Craig. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Deborah, families have cared for their relatives who were old or who had disabilities for as long as there have been families. In contrast, I'd say public policy interest in this issue is more recent. We started to see major studies on public policies for supporting family caregiving during the 1980s, and then more recently have seen a great deal of attention to this issue thanks to Atul Gawande's best-selling Being Mortal. And now comes your paper, which is part of a new book entitled Family Caregiving and the New Normal. You and the other distinguished authors explore how economic changes of the past years will affect family care for older adults and people with disabilities. I thought it might help if you could give our listeners a broad overview of family caregiving issues and then a sense of what constitutes the new normal.
Sure. Well, Craig, as our population ages and more people with disabilities live for longer lifespans, the need for long-term care has grown a lot. While some public and private insurance programs cover the cost of this care, Medicare does not. It's really family caregivers who provide the bulk of it without pay. Estimates now are about 43 million adults in this country provided such care last year, and most of them were caring for parents or other older relatives over the age of 50. With the aging of the population, that really means that demographics have really caught up with us. And in the near future, every adult will be asked to provide care to their family members at some point in their lives. So that's, I think, why the editors would call it the new normal. At the same time, the economic value of family caregiving is really enormous. Estimates range from anywhere from $234 to $450 billion. So even at the lowest end of that range, the value is far greater than what's spent in public and private funds. The problem is that caregiving is really hard, and it often takes a toll on families, financially, physically, and emotionally. At least 70% of family caregivers have to change their work schedule, decrease the work hours, take unpaid leave to care for their loved ones, so that all takes a financial toll. And a lot of caregivers, maybe one in four, say their own health has gotten worse as a result of caregiving, and that share rises for people who provide more than 20 hours of care each week. As you might guess, this is a problem for a whole lot more people, and despite our reliance on family caregivers, there's a lot less public support in the U.S. for them compared to most other developed countries.
So do you see things changing? I mean, have things gotten better over the last two decades that you've been studying this issue?
Yes. Well, when you look back over the last 20 years, I think that you can see at least three major public policy advances. First, in the early 1990s, Congress passed something called the Family Medical Leave Act. It requires public employers and large private employers to provide up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave to employees who need to care for their family members. Second, in the year 2000, Congress created the National Family Caregiver Support Program. It provides funding for a whole variety of services that help family caregivers, from counseling and support groups to training and respite care to give them a temporary break from their responsibilities. And then third, in 2005, about 10 years ago, federal Medicaid policy was changed to allow states to establish something called consumer-directed personal care programs. They let Medicaid beneficiaries with disabilities make their own decisions about the kind of support they need and even let them choose their own personal care aides, who can be spouses or other relatives. And I'm proud to say that the change in policy was based in part on Mathematica research, which showed people to be more satisfied, had lower unmet needs, and lower costs in the long run for people who directed their own personal care compared to people using home health agencies. And then finally, I think it's fair to say that due to the advocacy by family caregivers themselves through groups like AARP and National Alliance on Caregiving, these issues are firmly entrenched on the public policy agenda, even if they haven't made all the advances that they might like.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the advocates, because I think, as you said, they have generally supported a lot of what's going on, but also felt that progress has been too slow. Any sense of, you know, why they'd see that that way?
Well, there's a lot of economic and political factors that have made policymakers reluctant to provide more support for family caregivers. Just for example, funding for that National Family Caregiver Support Program I mentioned, mm-hmm. is just $150 million per year, really a drop in the bucket considering the need in this country. And it hasn't increased in over 10 years, despite greater demand. So why haven't policymakers stepped up to the plate? Well, remember that I said that the estimates of the value of family caregiving range from $230 to $450 billion. That's huge. When policymakers see those numbers, folks on both sides of the political aisle get sticker shock, I think you could say. They really are afraid of what it would cost if new government programs had to pick up the tab for services that might replace what is now unpaid family caregiving. And for the most part, I think policymakers prefer to let private businesses decide whether to make available paid leave to employees for family caregiving. And then there are some political dynamics. Like every other area in the political arena today, there's a lot of polarization around this issue, and that really has narrowed the room for compromise. So let me give you an example. In the summer of 2013, Congress appointed a commission on long-term care, and they asked them to make recommendations on how to address the growing demand for long-term care for older adults and people with disabilities. The commissioners, you know, represented the full spectrum of political views. Conservatives generally opposed any new initiatives that would cost the government money. Progressives wanted new social insurance programs and more public funding for caregiver support. Both sides recognize the family caregivers are the backbone of the long-term care system, but they couldn't agree on anything except really to kick the can down the road by calling for a new comprehensive national strategy. And I have to say, for people who are providing care day in, day out, to aged and disabled family members, that really doesn't provide any tangible relief.
Well, those certainly are some serious problems, but despite all of that, Deborah, you've subtitled your book, A Glass Half Full. So it sounds like you have some optimism and you see some, you know, ways in which things will improve going forward.
Yeah, well, one thing I think could break the political deadlock would be strong evidence that demonstrates that support for family caregivers can reduce public Medicaid spending. For example, if we had research that really definitively showed that targeted support to certain kinds of families helps to delay or even avoid a long-term nursing home admission paid by Medicaid, that might really help to persuade policymakers to make a greater investment in these kinds of programs. I've seen some recent evaluations of programs like this in New York and Minnesota and some other places, and they suggest some long-term cost savings. But I think more rigorous, convincing studies are needed to figure out how best to target these services so that they result really in some sizable savings.
And are there factors you think might lead to progress supporting family caregiving,
well,
at least the public policy aspects of it?
Yeah, I actually do think it's possible that we'll see more progress when we have more elected officials who have personal experience with caregiving. For example, we've seen a couple of senators, Mark Warner of Virginia, Johnny Isaacson of Georgia, really became very strong advocates for caregiver support based on their own experience caring for older relatives. As more men and women entering public office in the future bring that kind of direct experience caring for family members, they may tip the balance towards more public support. And I have to say, now that about 40% of family caregivers are men, which is a big increase from 20 years ago, it might no longer be seen as just a women's issue.
Well, thanks, Deborah. This has been a very informative look at an issue that's likely to remain critical to policy, you know, for a long time to come.
It's been my pleasure, Craig. Thank you.
Anyone who'd like more information on Deborah's work on long-term services and supports, and more broadly, Mathematica's work in health policy, should visit our website at www.mathematica-mpr.com. And you can also contact Deborah with questions at dlipson@mathematica-mpr.com. Thank you for listening to Policy and Perspective from Mathematica Policy Research.